Diane. You remember my brother Niles, my father Martin.
What a tasteful abode.
Oh, well, modest in its way.
Well, Martin, it's been too long. How have you been?
Well, my wife died. I got shot in the hip, and I had to move in with Frazier because I kept falling down in the shower.
Well, you look wonderful. Yes, you do.
And don't you love Martin's response? That's on Frasier, obviously. And that woman just makes my skin crawl, and she probably makes your skin crawl too. And you'd probably have someone, maybe under your own roof, in your own family, who makes your skin crawl. How do you deal with those people or that person in your life? That's one of the many things we can talk about. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness. My number is toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. That's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. And right now, let's turn to the phones and welcome Jean. Jean, you're having difficulty with your 12-year-old?
Yes, I do. He's a gifted child. He's very intelligent and extremely intuitive, but he's also very manipulative.
Not a good combination, huh?
It's very frustrating. He is a wonderful, loving soul, though, and probably a lot older than what he should be in a lot of ways, but still his maturity hasn't caught up to him. My main goal is just to have him grow up to be a wonderful young man and take care of his responsibilities, I guess.
Where do you find him? Give me a problem that you recently had that triggered you to make this phone call.
I have asked him to do the dishes consistently for, it's been 6 months, 8 months, I don't know. That's his duty. He has frogs, and we pay about $30 per month for frogs for their crickets, and mm-hmm. that's one of his chores.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a constant reminder, please do the dishes, please do the dishes. And this evening I've spent about 2 hours arguing with him over the dishes.
And what does he say?
He doesn't really say that he doesn't feel like he needs to do all the dishes. He only needs to do part of the dishes.
Why?
If the dishwasher's full, the rest of them have to wait until the next time.
Oh,
because
so
you can do them by hand.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do that. He can think of a million ways to try to manipulate it, and then he gets distracted and he wants to, he was throwing ice at my 7-year-old little girl, and he just wants to do anything to get away from it.
How many children do you have?
We have four. And my
four
husband, unfortunately,
children.
Is on his third tour, so.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, thank you for his service. Thank him for the service. A third tour?
Yes.
Yeah, so you have a lot more on your mind than.
And, we've got the flow of how to try to do both mom and dad.
Yeah.
But I don't have that big authoritative voice and. I'm the mom. I'm usually the one that.
What do you typically try?
So he takes full advantage of that one.
Yeah. What do you typically try?
We ground. We take away TVs. We take away PlayStation.
Oh no, Mom! Not again.
Oh yeah. And
what does he say?
Okay. Whatever.
Okay.
Let's just sell the frogs, and we solve that solution. Okay, fine. And we'll go to the Petco. Like, no, I want my frogs. Let's go get more crickets. And your money. You pay for them this time. Okay. So it's kind of like he catches me all the time. Like, okay, he paid for the crickets. So what do I do now?
Okay. So your goal is to engage his cooperation rather than, when I think of discipline, I think of you punishing him, being that, like you mentioned, having a very strong, powerful voice. This is what, go do the dishes now. And you don't dare. You don't dare buck the system because whatever is contained in that tone of voice, that go do the dishes now.
I can do that and I can yell it. I don't want to be a screamer.
I'm saying that backfires because even if the child says, oh my God, what are they going to do next? Because there's an implied huge threat. What's the parent going to do? Hit them or take away their guitar or do something, not let them go out with their friends anymore, forever, or when they're older, take away the car. Whatever their values are currently being threatened implicitly in the parent's tone.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, kids will adopt several attitudes. Sometimes they'll become very compliant, and then you get a kid that just is afraid of authority figures or just buckles under to them, which is not the strong kid that you want. But then another type of kid will just say, you can't hurt me. Give me whatever punishment you want, and it's not going to hurt me at all. And they detach from their own values, because the greater value is, you can't force my mind, mom or dad. And so that's not working. And you get into a mutual frustration society, and you said he's got a kind soul. You love your child. Mm-hmm. And you've got your hands full. It is amazing. If your husband is on his third tour of duty and you have four children at home, what ages?
We have 12, soon to be 13, and then 11, he's almost 12, and we have 7 and 4.
Okay, so he's got siblings. You've got siblings.
Three girls. He's the only boy.
Oh, three girls. Okay. Yeah. And the fact that he's throwing ice cubes at the 7-year-old tells me that there could be some sibling issues going on here, too, that there may be some favorite kids, or maybe he feels... Yeah, I don't know what's going through his mind.
He likes to tease the 7-year-old. They get along very well. They're very humorous together. They're kind of like buddies.
Yeah, I want to give you... I know, because we're down to 3 minutes here.
Yeah.
I want to give you some advice. So, what I'm telling you is that when your child either takes the wimpy route and they say, whatever you want, mom, and they become the compliant kid, that's not good for them long range, because you want a kid that has his independent mind intact.
Right.
But you also don't want a rebellious kid, a kid that just detaches from his own values and that you start to see as manipulative. You want to break that cycle and see more of the good soul in him.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start to see the better aspects of your child, you can grow them. When he does do the dishes on time, you catch a kid doing something right, and it may not be the dishes. You can even talk about the whole situation. You know, tell me, we both get so frustrated, honey. Instead of, I'm frustrated with you. You work to engage his cooperation. We both get so frustrated. Daddy's away for a long time. It's hard on everybody. Let's try to figure out a way that makes the dinner times or the meal times easier for both of us. What suggestions do you have, honey? Well, I hate doing the dishes. Well, tell me, any other ideas? Do you have any other ideas? Well, I don't mind taking out the garbage, Mom. And you may get some play. You may, because if a child chooses within limits. I mean, he's not going to say, well, I'll watch TV while you do the dishes. But if a child has an input into some choice making, they buy into it more, and they take a sense of pride in it. And then you catch him doing whatever he's doing, the garbage, and you say, thank you so much. I so appreciate that.
Okay.
Rather than, it's about time. I want you to go to my website when we're done, if you're not there now.
Okay, yep.
drkenner.com. Mm-hmm. And I recommend these books all the time. And I wish there were even more that I could recommend, but these are my gold standard books. There's How to Talk So Teens Will Listen, How to Talk So Kids Will Listen, How to Talk So Kids Will Learn, Siblings Without Rivalry.
Ooh, that's good.
And, yeah, but the first one I would get would be either the How to Talk So Kids Will Listen, because you still have a 4 and a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old, and then the teens one.
Okay.
And they are, and the siblings one, too. They're all easy reads, and they're all by the same authors. So
great.
Adele Faber and Elaine Maslisch. So those will help you. There is a chapter on engaging cooperation. There's a chapter on, instead of punishment, what does work, and it doesn't mean you're the wimp. And the last one is, there's a chapter on how to help your child break out of a bad role. They could be the shy kid, the bratty kid, the manipulative kid, how to break them out of that role. And they give you specific skills of how to do that. And it's a fabulous book. You need all of the support you can get. And, you know, thank you so much for
thank you
your
very,
husband's
very
service.
Much. I appreciate everything.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Jean. And give me a call back if you ever want to let me know how things work out.
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh,
have
you're
a good
welcome.
Day.
You too.
Thanks.
I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness. I'm a clinical psychologist, and my number is toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Drs. Kenner and Locke.
We've all used or been the target of insults at some point in our lives. We're familiar with the sinking feelings and hurt that accompany such moments. Not the warm closeness of soulmates, but the emotional turbulence of facing an adversary. We feel anger, hurt, guilt, frustration, helplessness, or hopelessness. We feel misunderstood, cast as a villain, accused of doing things we did not do, and of not doing things that we did do. In some relationships, this love-destroying cycle goes on for decades until death or divorce puts an end to it. When your partner, your best friend, has turned into an enemy, you both lose. Poor methods of communication are dysfunctional. They don't work even when the accusations are true.
Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com and buy it at amazon.com.